Me too. That would be a great idea. Yes. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Got a little job for you today. We've been having a little celebration here because it's our 50th birthday at MGF. And Nunzi asked us all to read out our favourite verse. Singular. Hallelujah. My little joke. Your favourite piece of scripture. Could be a single one, could be number of verses. So we've all said that here. So during while you're listening, put your favorite verse or verses into the chat, and that'll be great. And it doesn't have to be in English yet. It could be in Telugu. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you that we've been in this place. I thank you for everyone watching and everyone watching live or listening later. Speak a blessing out over them too. Thank you that they are part of this family, part of this fellowship, part of MGF, 15 years of blessings. Hallelujah. So, Father, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you now that we've come to your word and gather around your scriptures. Thank you for the scriptures we've used already this morning, that list that we compiled this morning, some awesome scriptures that have changed our lives. And thank you, Father, that it is the word that will change our lives. Thank you that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds through the word of God. So we thank you for that process. Thank you that your word is like a seed. Thank you for these seeds we're about to plant in our hearts this morning. And we speak our understanding in Jesus' name, understanding so that these seeds are not stolen and that they will grow and produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to the Gospel of John. Chapter 12. I've been loving working through this, but this morning I've just had a sense of how God has been speaking to me through the weeks and this morning, and just weaving different things together as I've been preparing these sermons. And I wasn't sure about this message today, but it's the next five or six verses, so it's in the series. But just as I was thinking about what I'm going to preach on at the end of this message, I can just see how right this sermon is for me this morning. So I'm going to be blessed by this because I need to hear this because I know what's coming. So thank you, Lord. We are continuing our study through the book of John. Amazing book, you know, ending religion, starting relationship. Well, not starting relationship, bringing us back into relationship, because that was the original design, relationship. And we have seen, especially towards the start, seen some wonderful encounters that Jesus had with people as a group and as individuals. Some of my favorite passages could have been the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. Or the woman with the issue of blood. Oh, man. We've, you know, just seen people having their lives changed by Jesus. But it's a different type of message this week. We're calling this series Simply Jesus. But it's not about Jesus this week. It's about people. And it could be about us. This week, and this small passage of scripture, we're focusing on people's attitudes, people's reaction to Jesus. And there are so many different reactions. So we'll look at a few of them from that verse. This morning, so we're going to be John 12, verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. But though he had done, I've read that bit. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he spoke of his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Ooh, ouchie. Ouchie. Yeah, it's going to be an ouchie message this morning. Interesting passage, this. Tells us about some of the reactions to Jesus. Now, in this study, we've seen different reactions already. We've seen in our studies where the people get Jesus, understand him, and believe on him. I've mentioned the Samaritan woman at the well. You know, this, the lowest of the low meets Jesus, gets him, and suddenly becomes the first evangelist. Wouldn't even come out in the start of the day with a woman, yet by the end of her encounter with Jesus, she's running into the town to get the men. She gets it. Woman in the issue of blood, she got it. We've met Lazarus, Mary, Martha. They got it. The disciples, of course, that followed him. I mean, I know Carl, I give him a really hard time. But I think they got it. They followed him after all. And we have seen people believing through the miracles, through seeing the miracles, like people talking about the raising of Lazarus. Look at John 12:11, which we did a few weeks ago. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now, I'm not going to study this out again. I should have done it back there. I find this interesting that they didn't believe, or the way I read it, they didn't believe because Lazarus was raised from the dead. They believed because people told them about Lazarus being raised from the dead. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words about Christ. So that's quite interesting. I might have to do a recap on that. I'm sorry, my OCD is kicking in. This is slightly off center, and it's really annoyed that I can't level it up. Never mind. I'll carry on. I will overcome. We see people getting it. We saw a reaction last week as well that I would say we see all the time today. John 12:28-29, you might remember. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The audible voice of God. And people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said, oh, is a thunder. An angel spoke to him. Here's physical evidence of God, and they reject it. They reject him. They hear the voice of the Father, and they say, oh, is that thunder? And I see that all the time today. People today look at the world around them. This world, the universe. I'm just looking at that. There's a dandelion out there. That is a wonder of creation. That's a wonder how quick the damn thing appears and then suddenly it seeds. You know, that is just a wonder. I just saw that. How many times do you think, I better go out and pick out that dandelion soon, and the next thing you look, boosh, and the seeds are going everywhere. I think I must have touched my screen. I wasn't there. There I was. People look around them at the world, at the universe, at the complexity of the cell. If anyone wants to read it, I'm reading a book at the moment called The Song of the Cell. Anybody interested? Yeah. Thank you, Pauline, this one. I've got other books. I'm reading about the phenomenon of consciousness. Now, consciousness. Everything that points to the Creator God, and people say, isn't evolution marvelous? Rubbish, thank you, Pauline. People see a miraculous healing, hear evidence of a healing, and they say, oh, well, they're never sick in the first place. That's a fake, that's the placebo effect. I see that all the time, people just making excuses. Now, I look out the window and I see something as simple as a dandelion or a tree. And I see God. I see the wonder of God. these books about consciousness that I'm reading at the moment, oh my giddy aunt. They're, our ability to think and have self-awareness, when really we're just a jumble of atoms and elements and compounds and molecules, that somehow comes together to give a thinking, rational, self-aware being. You've got to see God in that. But evolutionists say, oh, no, that's the wonder of evolution. And they tell us that respiration and photosynthesis, that we simply cannot live without in our current format, came about piece by piece, little by little. How could photosynthesis, how could that evolve? No, our world cries out that there is a God, and people will not believe it. God speaks audibly to them, and they just, nah. As it was now, so it was then. People just don't get it. So we've seen a few different types of people. And then this short passage shows us other types of people, other reactions. The first one is a type of person spoken about by Isaiah. It's John 12, 37 to 41. We read that. And you can read about that in Isaiah. And to be honest, I read Isaiah and it makes hard reading. Because on first reading, if you just quickly read it, try to understand it without looking at other passages, that would look like predestination. And it would look like God is hardening hearts and God is shutting ears. And God is making people so that they cannot be converted, cannot be saved, and cannot be healed. Look at Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6, 8 to 10. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy. And shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. On first reading, that does look difficult. It looks like God is saying, go, make the people fat. Make their hearts fat. Shut their eyes. Shut their ears. So they're not converted, they're not saved, and they're not healed. And that was really difficult for me, because you know what I believe. I'm a New Covenant guy. God doesn't do that. So we need to study it out. We need to rightly divide the word, and we need to read it in context, and we also need to study it with other scriptures. Now, one of my favorites that I could have said this morning, but I didn't, would be 2 Peter 3, verse 9. I use this all the time. This verse says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to us words, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This verse tells us that God wants everyone to be saved. It says, well, that everyone is saved. Now we have done talk about this, and that we know that everyone's not saved. No, because we have this, some people call amazing thing, free choice, free will. God wills that everyone is saved because of our unwillingness and our stubbornness and our ignorance. Some people are not saved. But it's not because God did it. It's us. But you could read Isaiah 6, 8, 10, and it's good old Calvinism at its best. No, God created these people, and he wants their hearts hard, and he wants their ears up, and he wants them not to convert. No. But 2 Peter 3, 9 completely contradicts that. Well, it contradicts that interpretation of Isaiah 6. We know there's no contradictions in Scripture. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, is very, very clear. So what's true? Is it Isaiah 6:10 or is it 2 Peter 3:9? Yes, they're both true. Now, sometimes when you have these kind of contradictions, it's quite good to see what someone else says, isn't it? Who's the best person to check? Jesus. See what Jesus says. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 14 and 15. And in them, this is Jesus saying, he's saying, I'm talking parables. He says, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. So Jesus is saying, people are going to hear and they're not going to understand. People are going to see and they're not going to perceive. And then he says, for this. So because of that, because they don't understand, because they don't perceive, people's hearts is what grows, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and it should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. This is Jesus speaking and saying, this is the prophecy of Isaiah being fulfilled. And he gives an explanation to that prophecy, which I find quite difficult to understand for Isaiah. But Jesus wrote it. Didn't he? You know, Isaiah might have written down the words, but Jesus, Holy Spirit, God the Father, inspired him. He says, this is Jesus speaking, he says, people will hear and not understand. They will see and not perceive. And because of this, because of their doings, their failings, then they will have their heart hardened, their ears will be made dull, their eyes will close. It is because of people themselves, their lack of understanding, their lack of perception. And they do this to themselves. This is a free will thing. This is a knowledge and understanding thing. It has nothing to do with God. Isaiah is saying, this is the deal, folks. This is what's going to happen. And Jesus is saying, this is the deal, folks. This is what's going to happen. Now, just because they say this is what's going to happen doesn't mean they've caused it. But Jesus is out of time. He can see what's going to happen. And he's saying, because of you not perceiving, because of you not understanding, this is the result. It's not because God has willed it, but it's just that God knows it. So I think Jesus makes it pretty clear. It's nothing to do with God. God can speak to them. God can show them things. God can speak audibly. He can do healings, miracles through Jesus Christ. And if they don't understand, if they don't perceive, that leads to this condition. It's not God putting it on them, but people's lack of understanding, people's lack of perception. And that spoke loud and clear to me. I really felt God saying, Vic, you need to keep helping people understand and keep helping people to perceive. That's our job. Help people to understand, help people to perceive. Now, if we do that, and people understand and people perceive, you get the opposite of what Isaiah was talking about. Yes, you see the logic in that? If they don't understand, don't perceive, they get this. Therefore, if we do understand and we do perceive, what's that going to do? That's going to soften their hearts. It's going to open their eyes. It's going to open their ears. They will be converted. They will be healed and saved. Understanding and perception is the key, guys. Sometimes the miraculous is not enough. For some people, we see it in here. The miraculous was not enough. But explain it to them. Tell them about it. Well, let me tell you why Lazarus was raised from the dead. Let me tell you what that was showing. Let me teach you so you can understand and perceive what's going on here. Heart softened, ears open, eyes open, conversion, salvation, and healing. That's what it's saying to me. Sometimes the miraculous is not enough if people just don't understand, if people don't perceive. There needs to be explanation. There needs to be help in understanding and in perception. And Matthew 13, Jesus goes on to explain this a bit fully to this. He says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. And blessed are your ears, for they hear. We need to perceive, we need to understand, and that leads to blessings. Jesus is saying, you're blessed. Really, because he's saying, you're blessed because you've understood and you've perceived. And it also spoke to me on another level. God said to me, Vic, keep trying to understand. Keep trying to perceive. Never stop this process. Now, I think that's an important lesson for all of us when we think about our walk with the Lord, our relationship with the Lord and the Word, the Holy Spirit. Never, ever, ever think that you've arrived. We must never think that we've arrived. We must be willing to keep learning. Amen. Could it be that there are some areas where we still have a hard heart, where we're not healing? I think there was quite a few nods. Where's the mirror? Could there be some areas where we still have a hard heart, where we're not hearing, where we're not seeing? I think so, because we're not all perfect in our minds and in our bodies. So there must be some kind of lack of understanding, lack of perception. Stay teachable, the Lord is telling us, and that's for all of us. Never, ever, ever think you know it all. What I've got next on my notes is, I think I get the concept of righteousness. But I love hearing teaching about righteousness. I think I get the concept of forgiveness. But I love somebody telling me again and again and again that you've been forgiven unconditionally and absolutely for everything. There's always something new. No, not new. There's always something deeper to understand or perceive about righteousness, forgiveness, healing, prosperity, joy, peace, the Holy Spirit. There's always something deeper to understand. And we need that attitude in all areas of our walk by the Lord. We need to stay teachable. Amen. Especially if you're a teacher. Hallelujah. So that was one type of person. Then there's another. And I feel sorry for these people. I'll tell you why in a minute. Verse 42, 12, 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also. So this is talking about the people and also the rulers. It's talking about everybody. Many believed on him. Great, let's just stop there. Many believed on him. Fantastic. Oh, there's a but. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Wow, here we're talking about ordinary people, but also people among the chief rulers. So I kind of just focused on the people among the chief rulers on this, thinking, okay, so here we have got people of power and importance and prestige and authority among men. People high up in the religion of the day saying they believed on him, but they did not confess that to others. Believe is the word pistuo and means believe, commit to, put trust in. Confess is the word homologio, means to confess, to give thanks, to promise. In other words, to assent or acknowledge. So what's this saying? This is sounds to me, what this is saying is they believed on Jesus, who he was, what he's done, and yet they did not acknowledge this to others. Not telling others. Why? Lest they were kicked out of the synagogue. Lest they were rejected and thrown out of their religion. Lose their power and prestige. Lose their identity within their society, their identity within their church or religion. Lose their position, maybe. Lose their job. Lose their salary. And I find that profoundly sad. that these leaders would prefer their power and money over a relationship with Jesus. And then I thought, but that was you, Vic, for years and years. So who are you to judge these guys? But another point is, the way the Lord is just weaving things in and out for me at the moment during these sermons is amazing. I'm always getting examples to preach on. And I've been watching The Chosen again recently. I've gone to it again. I love watching The Chosen. I mean, there is artistic license. I mean, I like the bit when they're dancing at the wedding and they're going on about Andrew's lack of coordination. And Peter asks Jesus if he can do something about it. And he says, well, some things are impossible for even me. You know, it's funny, but, you know, I wasn't too keen on that. But however, last week I watched the episode with Nicodemus when he went and spoke with Jesus. And Jesus invited him to follow him, to leave everything and follow him. And we're leaving at 5 o'clock in the morning from such and such a place. And he wanted to go, he wanted to follow, but he was under pressure. That woman you gave me, Nicodemus could have said. His wife was wanting to get back to the big house and the power and the privilege and all that. But he felt dragged back to that as well. Pressure to get back into his religious life where he had importance and prestige and money and people actually followed him. And I think in that context, that part of The Chosen was a perfect picture or example of these verses here. Talking of people more interested in their relationship with men, their power, their status, their money, than their relationship with Jesus. It's also talking about people being too concerned with what others will think if you talk about this. And I have to be honest, I've been there, especially in the early part of my walk. You know, and the kind of environment I worked in, the last thing you're going to speak about is your faith in Jesus Christ. Or it was for me back then. What are the guys going to say? What are the guys going to think? What are they going to make fun of me? So I can relate to this. I can relate to those kind of feelings. What will people think of me if I say this, do this, or preach this? Now I just couldn't give two hoots, but I can relate to it. And this verse also led me to some pretty deep thoughts about the people described there. Were they of faith? Were they saved? Will they stand shoulder to shoulder with us in eternity in heaven? However you want to word that question. The word says they believed, but they did not acknowledge Jesus to others. Now, I think they will be in heaven with us, but I've not formulated my thoughts 100% or enough to teach on that. So I'm open for debate. I'll just leave that one hanging there. But I want to finish on a similar vein to last week and something that has been speaking so loudly to me this morning that I know this sermon is for me. These people were said to be believing but not acknowledging. And I think in this context, they're living carnally minded and not spiritually minded. And we spoke about that last week. And we all know the dangers of that. We spoke about Romans 8, 6 and 7. To be carnally minded leads to death, spiritually minded leads to life and peace. And the life is, what's the life? Zoe. Can't read my own typing. Zoe, like God's kind of life, amazing life of health and abundance and joy and peace. Now, watching The Chosen, that part of it, you may remember, as Jesus and the disciples are leaving, Nicodemus is round the corner. not in life, joy, or peace, or anything. Absolutely distraught, devastated. And that's the danger for us, I think. And I wish I'd really listened to this yesterday as I was preparing it. Because I had a terrible day yesterday. Awful. You guys know of my troubles with mental well-being. I've explained them to you. Yesterday, I was heading back into the depths of despair again because I was carnally minded. I was carnally minded. Got up this morning, Nancy says, "How are you today?" I says, "Well, just let me see." She said, "Well, we'll see when we get going how you are." And I have been spiritually minded for the last 2.5 hours. And I feel great. Carnally minded leads to death. Spiritually minded leads to life and peace. I wish I would read my own sermons, Polly. This is what we're being warned about here. We can be saved. We can have our eternal future sealed. We've got our ticket into heaven. But if we live carnally, for the pleasing of men, for the prestige and honor of men, or just not having our mind focused on things of the Lord, because if you're not focused on that, you're going to be focused on something else, and that is carnal. You might be sitting there thinking, "Well, I don't think carnal thoughts." You do if it's not spiritual. Now, it might not be bad. We all think, "Ooh, he's thinking carnally. That's terrible." No, I was just thinking, that was not offside. He was miles onside. That's the carnal thoughts I was having yesterday. Well, what did you kick it there for? Why didn't you kick it over there? Carnally minded. I'd phone up Nancy from the football yesterday and say, "Just come and take me home, will you?" Because it was leading to death in terms of where my mental well-being was going. But we start focusing on things of the Lord, like our top 10 of MGF's greatest hits, scriptures, and people sharing, and we're singing worship, and I'm standing here preaching my little heart out. That's spiritual things. God, so lifted. Man, what an example. It's like I feel like going banging my head against that wall. You've been preaching this for 15 years, you. Listen to your own preaching. Life and peace only comes from the spiritual, comes from Jesus. Look at Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Now, I love the Greek and the Hebrew. The Hebrew especially is very pictorial. Is that what I would say? Pictures. And that word snare comes from a wonderful word in Hebrew. It's a word mokashi and means a noose for catching animals. By implication, a hook for the nose. It literally means having a nose ring and being led around by your captor. That's what we get when we're carnally minded. The enemy can just get his hold of that ring and pull us every which way he wants. And then you just think, what am I doing here? I can't be bothered with this. I'm just mental well-being. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Nose ring's gone. You can't pull me about anywhere now, mate. You know why? Because he's a winner. You're a loser. I've nothing to do with you. I'm putting my trust in him. We don't need to be like that, being led around by the enemy. We put our trust in the Lord. Be spiritual rather than carnal. Trust in him and not in man. Be in awe of him and not of man, and you shall be saved. Proverbs 28 says the righteous, or having a mindset of righteousness, that is being spiritual and not carnal, makes you as bold as a lion. So being spiritual, focusing on him, as well as making you safe, makes you fearless. Again, I thing that came to my mind, two nights ago, I was flicking through nonsense videos. But there was a video came up, and it was this female lion and a group of hyenas. And she just wandered through those group of hyenas. And then it said, look who's behind her. Look who's with him. And it was this huge male lion walking behind her. And it's just, you know what? The hyenas were no going to mess with him. So they didn't mess with her. We have got the Lion of Judah, not behind us, in us. If we trust in him, we've got nothing to fear, nothing to be anxious about. As my mom would say, we can be bold as brass. World, you can do nothing to me. I've got the lion at my back. Look who I've got backing me up. Are we in fear of something today? Now, I know there's a verse that says, perfect love casts out all fear. But this verse is also telling us, maybe we're carnally minded rather than spiritually minded if we've got a fear this morning. Could he be telling us we're more interested in what men think rather than what the Lord thinks? Is he maybe telling us we're believing, not confessing? Don't want to finish on a bummer, but those are definitely things we need to be thinking about and things that I need to be thinking about. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. We could also do 15 years of MGF. I was just thinking of Reggie and Lindsay and all that doing impersonations of me. We could do a buzzword bingo on how many times I say awesome. How many times I say hallelujah. That used to be their thing, wasn't it? Whoa. Hallelujah. Awesome. I never did get them a t-shirt that said awesome hallelujah on it one of these days. Amen. We have got 2 Corinthians 5:21. Yeah, we have got John 12:24. We've got John 12:27. And that's all for Sundar. Good one, Sundar. We've got any more? Oh yeah, 1 Corinthians 5:17. So good. Thank you, Sundar. Bless you. We've got great teaching, Vic, from a Facebook user. Don't know who that is. Might be Santi that says she's watching from India. So hallelujah. Awesome. Let's take communion together. Father, I thank you for our service this morning. I thank you that we've been able to come together and worship you, give you our thanks and speak out the scriptures that mean so much to us, and thank you that we've been able to worship. Thank you that we gather around your word. But we do thank you now that we can gather around these elements and take time to remember Jesus. Thank you for your words that says, do this in remembrance of me. So we do that this morning. We want to focus on the Son and what he has done for us. We thank you, Father, that your plan of redemption was Jesus and his amazing finished work. And we thank you that these elements, the symbol of his body and his blood, can remind us of that finished work. So we thank you for his body given for every single one of us. We thank you for his blood shed for our forgiveness. We remember that this morning. And we thank you, Father, the body and the blood of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, Abba Father. We thank you so much for our service this morning. Excuse me. And thank you that we were able to finish by focusing on the finished work of Jesus Christ. We thank you that all judgment was on that body, all forgiveness flowed from that cross as his blood flowed. Thank you that all he took in his body was left in that grave as he rose again. And thank you that we all have the opportunity to move into that newness of life with Jesus Christ in all areas of our life. Hallelujah. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. Thanks for joining us. Remember, it's Charlie. Charlie LeBlanc. Bless you. Great to see you, Charlie. And remember to join us on Monday night for communion, Thursday night for communion Bible study, and Saturday morning for communion, and then back here on Sunday. Bless you all. Bye now.